Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you. Bright and early on a Sunday morning. At least it feels early for me, guys. I won't lie to you. 10 o'clock right now, usually about the time I'm being a good Christian in church, enjoying a great lesson from Jake. But today I am with you 10 to 2. I think this is normally the spot that that John Fricke is in. Maybe he's enjoying a relaxing, fun Cinco de Mayo. Maybe Fricke needs to kind of get his body ready for some wild shenanigans later today. Hope you're having a fun Cinco de Mayo day. Hopefully it is safe for whatever shenanigans you are getting into later in the day. Hopefully it's, I don't know, it's 10 a.m. Are you getting started yet? I don't know. 5 o'clock somewhere, I know. Isn't that what some of the people say? But I'm excited to get some 4 hours with you today. Producer Noel. Noel, how are you doing today? Feels like you've already been hard at work with Sam and Greg.
What is going on, Caleb?
Yeah, just enjoying a beautiful day in Atlanta. Thankfully, with the early time slot today, I can get away, enjoy some of this weather, get outside, probably hang out with the dog, get the dog outside. My dog, Salem, has been cooped up just a little bit more than usual recently, just because I feel like I've had a rather active weekend in the last few days. Went to Atlanta United yesterday, first game in person that I've been this season. And look, the environment was good. We'll talk later in the show about how the actual match went, but the environment fun nonetheless. You know what was cool? I got to go with my wife and a friend of ours who has a son, Isaac. He is not quite a year old yet, so got his first Atlanta United experience.
Oh, nice.
And like, I don't know about you, Noel, but there's like nothing cuter than a little baby, like a little kid with the headphones on.
I was gonna ask if they had the noise canceling headphones. It's so adorable.
I don't know. I feel like Drew Brees started that, and I know that name, doesn't ring necessarily
Like
well around here.
It's kind of infamous with him carrying his Super
that
Bowl
I always
being
think.
Orange.
Yeah, I always think of that memory, and I love any time that I see kids at a sporting event, whatever, with just little headphones, because you got to protect the ears, There, look, my buddy Joey, who is Isaac's dad, he's a camera operator at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so he was working yesterday. That's why we went with Mary Beth, but he's big on he doesn't need the headphones. Like, he's fine. He can handle the noise, but it's like, man, you got to protect the hearing. You want them to have good hearing and not have that messed up at a young age, but it's just absolutely adorable. So I was very much locked into the match, but also, like, when there's a baby sitting next to you.
Say a little attention to her.
Yeah, you know, it's hard not to pay attention to them.
Did they have him on, like, a cute little black and red shirt?
I do not remember what he was wearing. I do remember, so his mom told us that yesterday was the first time he wore shoes.
Oh.
Yeah, he did not like them, kept kicking them off. We actually had to do an awkward thing where we tapped the guy sitting in front of us. And we were like, excuse me, sir, could you grab that shoe underneath the chair? Brand new day for Isaac yesterday. First Atlanta United experience at what? He's like, I feel like he's like 7, 8 months old. And then first day wearing shoes, because apparently his parents have said, no, they're just putting them in like footies or socks or just, you know, letting them go with his dogs out. But first day for shoes and an Atlanta United match for little Isaac. And yeah, like I said, it was fun experience. The match itself, something that we need to talk about. We're actually going to have Jason Longshore on the show in the third hour, about 12:40. We're going to have Jason on to talk about last night, what all happened, and where we go from here, because I feel like there's some pretty big questions being asked. The other thing, Noel, that I spent some time over the weekend doing, as I would assume you probably were involved in, so many of us, so much so that it's almost turned into like a homework exercise or an extra job, is keeping up with Kendrick and Drake.
Like, oh, man.
Who's doing what?
Woo.
Who's doing what?
Yesterday was wild.
It was. And I think, though, what's worse is, like, when I was sitting at the Atlanta United game last night when Kendrick dropped the most recent track. And so I'm trying to be, you know, locked into the game. I'm focused on the game. I little Isaac sitting next to us, so playing around with him. But then I just briefly, during halftime, took a scroll on Twitter, and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. Oh, this is going to be good. And then on the way home, get in the car, plug in my phone, and just pull up. And I was like, that is not what I expected.
Man.
That is not at all what I expected.
We even got an Atlanta history lesson. I'm like, and if you pay attention to hip-hop from like the 90s till now, Atlanta's always in the background of things in hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just so funny that, like, out of nowhere, here comes this Atlanta comet to put the icing on the cake of the conversation, because some of the stuff that Kendrick said in that segment of, you know, coming here to get you a little credibility and to fatten your pockets a bit, I had kind of been seeing this the whole time and kind of shaking my head at the way he kind of moves at certain things. Like, when Honestly Nevermind dropped and the only song anybody liked was Jimmy Crooks, and mm-hmm. then 2 seconds later, you had a whole album with 21 Savage, and I was like, oh, that was super predictable. Super predictable.
I think, look, there's obviously, like, the individual parts of who to like, who not to like. I think the interesting thing about this whole, there's a couple points, but the whole interesting part of this rap beef is that we're dealing with two major camps, in that, like you have your favorite. If it's Drake or if it's Kendrick, you have your favorite and you're most likely on your side, as I can hear just from you, you know, kind of giving your opinion there, Noel, that you have chosen your side. And I think a lot of people have, but I don't know that a lot of people have gone from one side of the beef to the other, or are just kind of looking back at it like, oh, I see some shots over here. Oh, I see some shots over here. I'm here for the drama. Like, strictly just give me the tea, give me the drama, spill the beans on something that I had no idea. I don't even, and this is probably the bad part because I think Kendrick might have leaned into this potentially, I don't even care if it's true. I don't. Because
I've seen a lot of that, and I kind of agree, because the whole thing is to kind of like get your opponent out of their comfort zone a bit. Like, you kind of put them on a defensive when you mm-hmm. throw out some of those things. But I will say this, I did get moved off my position. I was more so outside of the bubble looking in.
Okay.
And the more, because I'm indifferent to them both. Like, I, you know, listen to a little Kendrick, listen to a little Drake, you know, listen to a little Aubrey, and I've been calling Aubrey since 2006.
Okay.
Listen to a little Aubrey, listen to a little K-Dot. Okay, cool. I really didn't pick, even when J. Cole was in it, I really didn't pick a side. I was like, yeah, we'll see where this goes. But the harder K-Dot keeps coming, the more he kept kind of pulling me into the beef. And the past 2 days, I've just been fully immersed.
I'm just, like I said, I am here for the drama because that is what makes this all entertaining. Yes. And I know for like, there's a lot of you out there listening who are like, ah, you know, I'm too old, or man, I'm too like mature in my life to care about this. Come on, you know you love some drama. Like that's what I'm here for. I'm here for the, oh, you're hiding another kid? Are you? Are you not? Feels like the last time this happened, you initially you said you weren't hiding a kid, Drake, and then we all learned that Adonis existed. Kendrick, you've got bad splits on your contract, and you're having to give 50% of your deal up. Like, ooh, that doesn't look good. The most recent one from Kendrick in this last song of the what was it? The you're trying to strike a chord that's an A minor.
Yeah, that one was,
and I was like, woo! We're going back
flames.
To the Millie Bobby Brown stuff. Ooh. And like dealing with like that is it's messy. Look, I get the realistic ramifications of the Drake pedophile, the Kendrick woman beater. I'm just here for the drama. I want it fun. And I think more recently we've gotten some of those elements where like when you start going through some of the most historic rap beasts of all time, there's not a whole lot of I need someone to explain this to me. It's pretty much clean cut, laid out. Like I think Kendrick with the song before this, what was part of this three that he dropped of the like I hate the way that you look, I hate the way that you talk, I hate the way that you dress, like all of that. That is what I'm here for. Because like when I think of Who Shot You, when I think of like all of those classic beefs, whether it was Jay-Z and Nas, whoever you want to throw out there, it was point blank, it was disrespectful,
man.
It was I didn't need a white guy on TikTok to explain it to me. And I think that was part of the problem that we started with Drake and Kendrick, is we kept having all of this that like, ooh, all right, well, I gotta do research, I gotta do homework on all of this. And now we've reached the point of let's be very clear, very direct with what we don't like about each other and the information that we're sitting on with each other. And it's fun. Now, to spend this in a bit of a Falcons way, when I was thinking about this weekend, it was the thought of the Falcons do feel a little bit like this current rap beef, where when it came to the draft and the selection of Michael Penix Jr., look, you were either in on it or you were out. And I don't think there are many people, if any at all, who have swapped sides. I think there are, you know, you might hear it a little bit, but you're in your camp and you're hunkered down. I have tried. Yeah. I have tried my best to hear the other side, because I initially very much and still sit in the camp of I think it was the wrong decision. I understand the explanations of wanting to keep, you know, kind of a quarterback in the system, don't want to go without one, want to make that transition easy. I am just, and I was like this last week. Look, Noel, I took 2 hours of phone calls last week on my show just talking to Falcons fans who felt one way or the other about this whole decision, whether they think that prepping for the future while trying to play for the now is something that works. I have been big on the fact of, if you look at, you know, the team that was pointed out in the Green Bay Packers as being the, hey, look, they went from Brett to Aaron, Aaron to now Jordan. But that Jordan part of this being the focus of, like, you know, this is a team that drafted a quarterback when they had a Hall of Famer already there. I have pointed out the huge, massive holes in that. And the number one, the fact that they did not win in those last couple of seasons with Aaron Rodgers. And would that pick that they had at 26 when they drafted, when they traded up for Love, would that have truly helped them or not? You know, was that something, is that the same as going 8 to Penix and grabbing him at 8? No, it's not at all the same thing. And so it concerns me. But when I look at this rab beef between you've either got your side. You're either still riding with Drake, even though everybody's coming at him, and you're fighting your fight to the death. I'm very curious to see how Dylan Matthews feels about all of this because I know where he stood. Or you're in the Kendrick camp of look, we never even really liked this guy. And I feel like that's where Falcons fans are right now with this. You're either in on this was a smart decision to plan for the future, or you feel like the Falcons have screwed this up again and we're going to be waiting around and not going all in on the Kirk Cousins time here. And look, I'm just excited we've reached the point of the offseason where we're getting the slow-mo videos of passes.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Right? I'm just like, yes, I'm here for it. I'm so ready to see the slow-mo balls. Coming from what we got, I think it was Cousins to Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney, yeah.
Yeah, that we've got.
The slow-mo running back cuts.
Uh-huh. I'm ready for it. Look, I'm ready.
Slow-mo tackles to the bag. Oh, yeah.
I'm ready for all of it. Because whether or not, which way you agree, the Falcons, at least, they're wholeheartedly in on their decision. And I think you have to respect that. Whether you agree with it or not, you have to respect that they are all in on their decision-making. We'll talk some Falcons later in the show, specifically with one guy who got his fifth-year contract. But coming up next, all the stories and headlines of the weekend. You feeling good about the Braves? We'll talk about it next right here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Topi Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you until 2 o'clock today. And yeah, some Paramore perfectly describes being a true Dopi Millennial. Shout out to producer Noel. I love when no hate to any of the other producers around here at 92.9 The Game, but whenever I have a true Millennial producer, there's just something about the music that is just always on point, always knowing the right energy. And so, shout out to producer Noel. And I think Dom's coming in later today to continue it. And Dom always knows the right chords to strike when it comes to having the music really going throughout the show. Look, it's been a fun weekend. Pretty busy weekend, more so than I probably would have expected. So, without any further ado, let's get into the rest of the story.
Now, the rest of the story.
The rest of the story. All right, giving you all of the rest of the story of the headlines of the weekend. We'll begin with the Braves, who last night, yeah, it was rather unfortunate. This one hurt. I would say it hurt to come home and watch, but I couldn't do that because, yes, I am one of those customers currently. Look, here's the thing. I'm not going to go onto any big tangent about the whole issue with a particular cable company not carrying a particular channel that I particularly pay extra to, or I guess I don't pay extra for, but I got that particular cable company specifically so that I could watch this and other Atlanta teams, and now I can't do so because they're fighting. And look, I don't care what the fight's over. I truly don't. I know so far that Bally or the RSN networks have shown themselves to not be doing so well and being very difficult with all cable networks in general. And so I'm over it. I'm done. But I have a really hard time mustering up the extra money to get the Bally app so that during this squabble, this kerfluffle between the network, the regional network, and the cable company, I just have a really hard time throwing extra money at this in order to be able to watch the games. I know a lot of you are probably doing so. I did try to borrow my father-in-law's. He has another cable company account that does have Bally currently working, but it was like being super slow for me, and so I don't know. I've got to look into it and figure this thing out. But I know that
even if you paid for the app just outright, Caleb, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you it's going to be the same experience. It's just
gotcha.
How the app.
Lovely.
Unfortunate.
See, because I was considering dropping a particular cable company and going with a more online, you know, maybe a YouTube TV type situation, and then adding the app on
right.
So that I can watch. But yeah, I do get concerned about, like, I've got good Wi-Fi at the house, but I do get concerned about whether or not, you know, I hated the first time I had YouTube TV, especially on Sundays during NFL season. I was consistently like a good 20 seconds behind everyone else.
Yep.
And I enjoy the social media experience while I'm watching the game. I prefer, not all the time, but most of the time, I prefer to watch the game, specifically Falcons, alone. Maybe the wife's there hanging out with the dog, though, just chilling on the couch. And then getting on Twitter and seeing, you know, what the conversation is and jumping in the conversation myself. And you can't do that when you're consistently super behind, which is why I am not totally against all of these things going to streaming services. I know some people are weary, but like on Thursdays when it goes to Amazon Prime, I have an Amazon Prime account and we're all streaming it together. And so I know we're all on the same page. But yeah, that is my concern. If I were to make a switch to YouTube TV, is that I would be behind. And then if I had to get the Bally app, that I would be behind. But you can listen to the game on the Odyssey app. So that is one of those things to keep in mind for all of the folks out there. But yeah, no, this has just been a really frustrating week for that. And I'm over it. I'm ready for them to get their issues fixed and get the channel back to where I can watch. But specifically when it comes to the game, honestly, if you decided to tune out the last couple of games, you didn't miss much. You missed a lot of frustration, quite honestly, because the Braves lose to the Dodgers last night, 11-2, second straight loss for Atlanta to L.A. Bryce Elder, of course, who's had to step in to that fifth rotation spot, given Spencer Strider going down. And look, before we get into Bryce Elder and what he did last night, if you honestly thought that there was a situation in which Bryce Elder was not going to be needed this season, you're kidding yourself. Like, it's just, he was always going to get another opportunity. And I'm still holding out hope that there is that guy who was the first half of last season, who was the all-star, can come back. I don't know specifically what his issues are, but it has just been truly, it's been hard to watch. But I'm curious to see if this is a thing that he can work through in the majors. Because look, if you look around the rest of the league, I feel like most teams would kill to only have one spot in the rotation that you're truly, truly concerned about. For most teams, it's 2 to 3 guys in the rotation. They've got their top two, and beyond that, gets a little murky depending on what night it is. Right now for the Braves, it feels like Bryce, you know, is the one that you got to get right. Of course, guys are going to have off nights, but For Bryce, it's just because you've seen it. Because we've all seen him be that guy that he was the first half of last season, I just feel like I'm holding out hope that that guy can come back. Now, if you have major concerns about what's going on with the Braves right now, call us up, 404-726-0929. We're gonna talk about concerns when it comes to the Braves coming up in our next segment at right around 10:40. But yeah, Bryce Elder last night, 3 1/3 innings pitched, gave up 7 hits, 7 earned runs. He walked 4, only struck out 4. And yeah, amongst those 71 pitches that he threw, gave up 3 home runs. Less than ideal. Dylan Lee, thankfully, bounced back last night. He's looked good as of late, although things have been a bit shaky with Dylan. But yeah, last night, Dylan goes 2 2/3, allows 3 hits, but no runs while striking out 3. Look, I feel like the positive aspect you have to focus on in this one is Acuna being 3 for 4 with a run. Through 3 games in the month of May, he's batting .500 when he was, of course, you know, batting .235 in April. Was not ideal for Acuna in the month of April. But it feels like he, along with Austin Riley, are potentially turning a corner, getting things back on track for what we all believe is the best offense in Major League Baseball. That hasn't been showing it as of late. But I'm curious if there's truly that many of you who are hitting the panic button in the month of May. If you are, call us up. 404-726-0929. We'll talk about it in our next segment. Just, you know, what your panic level is. All right, continuing in the rest of the story, we talked about it at the top of the show. I didn't get into the specifics, but I was at Atlanta United's match last night against Minnesota United FC. Then Atlanta United falls 2-1. It is the 5th straight match for Atlanta United that they haven't gotten a win. That's the first time that's happened since 2021. The other part of this, first back-to-back losses for Atlanta United at home since 2021. We all remember what happened in 2021. Certain Frank DeBoer got the axe. You gotta wonder. Now, we're going to talk to Jason Longshore, of course, our Atlanta United analyst here on 99 The Game, coming up at 12:40 to get his thoughts on, you know, talk about the Braves panic button. What's the panic meter for Atlanta United for these going 5 straight matches without a win? I feel like it's got to be pretty high, quite honestly, because specifically what I was seeing defensively last night, team just overall looked lethargic. Brooks Lennon, every time I looked down at the field, he was yelling at somebody. So just less than ideal situation going on with Atlanta United last night. Continuing with the rest of the story, getting to all of our headlines of this weekend. Look, it was kind of weird for there only to be one NBA playoff game last night. I had to go home and catch the highlights after Atlanta United because I'll be straight up with you. Game 1 in Denver between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, I just said, yeah, Nuggets got this one. Now, I don't know what's going to go on from the series, but Nuggets got this one. And they did not. Timberwolves get the win 106-99 in Game 1 of the Western Conference semifinals. Anthony Edwards, man, I mean, I just, every time I watch this guy play, and just there's the what if. There's the, I mean, just the fact that we, some of us at least, got to go up to Athens and watch this guy play for 1 year. I didn't know it was going to be this, but you knew the talent level was special. And seeing Anthony Edwards go off for 43 points last night, Naz Reid, sixth man of the year, even though I truly believe Bogey Bogdanovich was easily sixth man of the year this season. He came in like 5th or 6th in voting, which just tells me that a lot of NBA media, when it comes to these voting things, just kind of get behind whatever the popular opinion is. But I will say this, Naz Reid last night in that fourth quarter, very dominant, 14 of his 16 points scored in the fourth quarter to go along with, like I said, Anthony Edwards, 43 points. Here's the other aspect of this. The Timberwolves beat the reigning champion, Denver Nuggets, with Karl-Anthony Towns in foul trouble. Like, this is that's been the crux of this team. Karl-Anthony Towns gets in foul trouble. He's not able to contribute, and other teams take advantage. Karl-Anthony Towns gets in foul trouble, finishes the game with 5 fouls and 20 points, and the Timberwolves still win. Now, look, there's still an element of this that has bothered me this entire season, but specifically since we hit the playoffs, the moment that Denver had to take on LA and there was honest conversations that people thought the Lakers were going to advance in that series, I was like, okay. I mean, I know the LeBron hype is real. I know the Laker hype is there. But are you really not giving the defending world champs their respect? I mean, that roster has not changed very much from a team who was truly dominant last season in the Western Conference and on their way to winning a championship. And so it's been wild to me to see the just the discourse around anytime the Nuggets are in a series of, well, you know, you got to look at their opponents. Like, no, you have to give the benefit of the doubt to the reigning world champs, especially when their roster doesn't see major change. They've still had dominant performances from Jokic all year. Jamal Murray, especially after he came back from his injury. Look, game one, he came back from his injury against the Hawks and looked so dominant. So I just don't think there's any reason to truly question the Nuggets in this series. But I get it. I get it this series against this team, this Minnesota team, because they look ready. Like, there are oftentimes, like you think about the Thunder. The Thunder feel like this is going to be a good test for them, but you're not really thinking NBA champion. I have a hard time believing that this Timberwolves team can't win a championship. I mean, what don't they have? I mean, Denver threw everything they could. Look, the highlights are on ESPN right now. Whether it was Aaron Gordon, whether it was KCP, whether it was Reggie Jackson, like, they threw everything at Anthony Edwards, and he answered the call every single time on the way to 43 points, and the Timberwolves get the win. First game of the series away. I mean, that is, look, that's a way to start the series, and you got to feel pretty dominant about what the Timberwolves can be. I just feel like there's a level of disrespect going towards Denver being the reigning champs that any other team would get that respect. So it's been a bit odd to me. All right, coming up next, like I said, we're going to get into this conversation. Where's your panic meter for this Atlanta Braves team? It's May. You really hitting the panic button now? If you are, call us up, 404-726-0929. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Sunday morning. Hope you're enjoying your day. Look, I know there's a lot to be frustrated about as of late when it comes to this Braves team. Specifically, look, we talked earlier about the fact of whether or not you've actually been watching the games lately. I have been doing a lot of keeping up with the app, seeing when runs are scored and who's on the mound. And Twitter has been a good friend of mine because, like, I'm just not willing to spend an extra $20 when I'm already paying a certain company money in order to be able to watch that game. Now, I know it is not, this is not a one-sided issue when it comes to these disputes between regional sports networks and the cable company who is carrying it. But we don't care. We don't care what the reasoning is. We don't care what the fight is about. We don't care how much money it takes. These things should have already been figured out. And the fact that we're hit, a month into the season, and now we can't watch games, I need them to fix it because I am not happy. But on the other hand, the games that have been missed as of late, you kind of seen a weird dichotomy of, like, some good baseball being played by a few specific players that we have seen gone cold as of late, but the team not performing very well. I posed this question earlier because I feel like I've seen it on social media as I've been paying attention a lot more to Twitter for, you know, getting Braves information, how everyone feels about how the team is doing right now. And I'm seeing a lot of panic from a lot of fans. So if you are in the panic group on this Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, call us up, 404-726-0929, because I want to know your like specific issues with why you have settled in this early into May into panic mode. Because I feel like I want to give you some things as reasons to not panic. Because I've found myself in this camp in years past. I have found myself in a couple of different camps when it comes to this Braves team, whether it's the looking at a move that Alex Anthopoulos has made and going, I don't know, was that really it? Was that the move to make? I mean, that's not going to work, is it? There's no possible way that that's going to work. And you know what I found myself on the other end of? Orlando Arcia, all-star. Because I was like, look, no. I mean, you didn't bring Dansby back? Come on. This is gonna absolutely wreck this team. I was wrong on that. Last season, I was also carrying the torch for those in panic mode early in the season. Because you weren't getting as many wins as I would necessarily expect. And the team just felt disconnected. You know, it was the talk of what this offense could be. I just felt like I hadn't seen it last year. However, we know how that situation played out. We know what the issues were in the postseason. And I feel like I want to be the only time as of late that I will agree with Aaron Rodgers is the R-E-L-A-X. Relax. I know because this team plays so many games and because you go through a stretch like April where, look, what was the conversation around this team coming into the year about this lineup? It's so dominant, top to bottom, that if a guy goes cold, there's going to be two or three other guys in the lineup to pick them up. If two or three guys go cold, there's going to be other guys to pick them up. And what have we seen as of late? Oh, it's kind of everybody. Everybody's been on a little bit of a cold streak. Until, feels like these last few games may or may not be tied to whether or not those with a specific cable subscription have been able to watch. But look, it's been an interesting stretch here lately for Ronald Acuna Jr., who feels like is getting back on track. Like I said earlier, he's now batting, I get it, three games. But he's batting .500 through three games where, you know, obviously in the month of April, .235. I think the big thing that is one of those, let's take a step back, let's realize where we are in the natural fan inclination to hit the panic button is quite simply a couple of what I believe to be some key injuries. Guys, we haven't seen Sean Murphy since the first game of the season. The first game. We're what? 31 games in now? So the Braves have played 30 games without Sean Murphy. Do you remember the reason why that trade occurred in the first place? Everybody was pretty happy with what Contreras could do behind the plate before Murphy came into town from Oakland, but this was an all-star behind the plate and standing in the box. This guy's a dominant hitter and an elite defensive catcher. And so the fact that he's been gone for 30 games makes a difference. Now, I'm not saying that Chadwick Trump has not done his thing in this stretch of time, but there's a reason why. He is your third catcher. He is your guy who hangs out in Gwinnett and gets brought up when there's an injury. This is not what this team is supposed to be looking like behind the plate. The other element of this is, look, I think Pierce Johnson heading to the injury list, that's no small thing. I get that's a reason to be very concerned, especially when Johnson goes to the injured list with elbow inflammation. We already saw this with Spencer, the direction of that took. However, it feels like everything coming out from Pierce Johnson, what he has said to the media, what the team has said about him, is this is truly something that is like a, we expect him to be out for the 15 days, come back, be able to rejoin the bullpen. Look, I know another part of this is after an offseason where I think Alex Anthopoulos did a great job upgrading the bullpen. I'm going to be honest with you. I think Tyler Matzek might be cooked. I think he might be cooked. Last night, what had two-thirds of an inning, gives up one of the three home runs to Max Muncy. He's got a 9.90 ERA so far this season. Look, we had to know that this was a true potential direction for things to go for Tyler Matzek. This is a guy who got his shot in the majors, lost it, was gone for, what, 4 years playing ball wherever he could find a job. Like, he got his redemption story. He came back, was, what, really good in 2020. 2021, obviously, we will forever remember him for that Dodgers series. He did his thing. But it looks like this Tommy John is caught up to him, keeping him away from the game. And I feel like I understand a level of discomfort and panic when it comes to seeing these things all kind of happening and what feels like just a few weeks stretch of time. But look, the Braves record, May 5th, 2023, 22 wins, 11 losses. You know what the Braves record is today, May 5th, 2024? 20 wins and 11 losses. It's right there. Like, this is something that this team has gone through before on way to over 100 wins. There's just no real reason to panic. And I think Alex is also very much willing to address things as he sees fit. There's a reason why he goes and gets Hergett from the Angels as a potential option to add to the bullpen. Hergett's kind of been that guy of like up very, very up and down throughout his career, but it feels like they see something there that if they can just kind of squeeze what's left in the toothpaste, it's not coming at a great time, but this is May. And I feel like I understand doing this to yourself of, hey man, things don't look good. This is just not the team that we expected it to be. Do you truly think for the rest of the 129 games through the regular season that this team is going to be this cold, that you're going to go down the lineup and expect Matt Olson to continue hitting 195, to continue to expect to see Kelenic at 278? Like, hasn't he been a bright spot? Marcell Ozuna's cooled off a little bit as of late, but guy was playing MVP level the last month. I just don't think there's a level of concern that I've seen from a lot of fans as of late. And then, look, you start getting into the nitty-gritty details of, and this is one of the things I love about baseball, that you can nerd out. I choose not to a lot of the times. But, of course, you know, guys like Grant McCauley, who you hear later on today, absolutely get into the nitty-gritty of this. And seeing that the ball coming off the bat for this Braves team has been dominant. They've just been pretty unlucky. You start looking through all the stats, and even an element that I've been a bit concerned with is like defense from Matt Olson through all of this and him struggling at the plate. He's actually got a better defensive war than Freddie Freeman, who we know held it down here in Atlanta for quite some time. So look, I feel like it needed to be said of a good reminder. It's May 5th. There's not a real reason to panic. Yes, this team has gone from a pretty commanding lead in the NL East to now behind the Phillies. But look, let the Phillies lead the division in May. I don't care about May. I care about September and October. And that's what I feel like we need to be focused on, even when the game-by-game basis feels a bit wonky and you have, you know, 3 1/3 from Bryce Elder that looks rough. All right, when we get back, I'm going to get into a conversation that, as I was vacationing, I guess, a bit in Florida last week, I hear some comments from Trae Young. Man, this really gets the ball rolling. What do the Hawks do to begin their offseason? We'll talk about it next, right here on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.